just place microphones there. Yeah, if you do have Bibles in front of you, do keep them open. That would be great. It is a great day today. It is a very happy day. It is rightly called a Thanksgiving. Thanksgivings are times when we really can give thanks to God. I'll pass that to Paula. For his grace towards us. We've thought about that. We've sung about that. It's a happy day for Dan and Jamie. And is Aoife asleep? She's sleeping. That's good. She was meant to sleep, but she was too excited. So we are giving thanks to God for the gift of Aoife to Dan and Jamie. As we heard earlier, actually, Dan and Jamie feel they've waited a long time for Aoife. That's not been an easy time. So they're determined to thank God for her. And they're determined that we join them in thanking God for her. And today, as we saw at the front a little minute ago, it's also a day when Dan and Jamie have made some very big promises. They promised to bring Aoife up to know the truths of the Christian faith. They promised to pray for Aoife and to model to her what it means to know and love and trust in Jesus. And again, we've come together to celebrate those promises. But actually, there would be some people in our culture and maybe some people here today would go, well, is it actually that good a thing that Aoife is going to be brought up in the Christian faith? In this day and age, is that really a good thing? And in fact, some people would argue that's a terrible way to bring up a child. And for example, Richard Dawkins, in his best-selling book, The God Delusion, devotes an entire chapter to the subject of whether it is morally acceptable to bring up a child to believe things like religious belief. For Dawkins, bringing up a child in the Christian faith is actually tantamount to psychological abuse of that child. And here's how the book puts it in one section. He says, children have the right not to have their minds addled by nonsense. And we as a society have a duty to protect them from it. So we should no more allow parents to teach their children to believe the literal truth of the Bible than we should allow parents to knock their children's teeth out or lock them in a dungeon. Now, if you know anything about Richard Dawkins, he's a master of overstatement, but he gets your attention, doesn't he? He's going, well, is it ever right to bring up a child in the Christian faith? Why would Dan and Jamie want their beautiful little girl to be exposed to the Christian faith from an early age? How can they be so certain that is a loving thing to do? Now, once you can ask Dan and Jamie that question later. There you go. Over tea and coffee, donuts at the end, or just throughout the day if you're here spending time with them. But I'm going to attempt to answer that question from this bit of the Bible that Adrian just read to us from Mark chapter 10. It's entitled The Little Children and Jesus. Because whether or not it is a loving thing to do to bring up a child in the Christian faith depends how you define the Christian faith. And I want to suggest you could summarize the Christian faith in just two words, Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is about a person, Jesus, who he is and what he's done for everyone who trusts in him. Dan and Jamie aren't Christians because they believe a sort of random set of religious teachings. They're Christians because they have come to know and to love Jesus, the Son of God, they believe, who came and gave himself for them. They believe Jesus has revealed who God is to us. And God isn't cruel. God isn't the God that Richard Dawkins likes to dismiss. God is a God of grace. And I want to say that this really short bit from Mark's gospel helps to see Jesus revealing the God of grace to us today. Because this little incident of Jesus and the children, it's a picture to us of how God treats anyone who comes to him and receives the gift of new life that Jesus gives to everyone who trusts in him. So we're going to look at this bit for the next couple of minutes together. A few words of introduction on Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel written about sort of AD 65, so about say 30 years after Jesus went to the cross, based on eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus, well within the lifetime of those original eyewitnesses. So it's an historically reliable account of Jesus' life. And what do we learn about Jesus here? Well, very simply, the first thing I think we learn is that Jesus welcomed little children and blessed them. And so far, so obvious. It's an obvious thing here. And I want to say, we don't really get the shock value of what's going on here with Jesus. In our culture today, any public figure like Jesus is expected to be kind and nice to children. Think of any general election. You can't move for politicians queuing up to kiss babies because that shows they're lovely people. So in that sense, actually, this doesn't seem shocking to us. But in Jesus' culture, 2,000 years ago, children were viewed very, very differently to how they are today. Little children in Jesus' day had no rights. The only reason they mattered is because one day they'd be adults. And so the age of adulthood was about 13 in first century Israel. They were seen to have little to offer anyone until that time when they stepped over into adulthood. Little children were powerless, and they were fairly unimportant to a lot of people in Jesus' day. And that's why Jesus' disciples react the way they do. That's verse 13 of our reading. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples are going, sort of, clear off. Clear off. Jesus is an important man. We're important people. We don't need you cluttering things up. We've got important things to do. The disciples rebuked the parents for bringing their children because children don't matter. But then you see how Jesus reacts, verse 14. When Jesus saw his disciples rebuking the little children, he was indignant, Mark says. Literally, he was aroused to anger. They say if you want to know what really matters to someone, find out what gets them angry. And this gets Jesus angry. He's angry that these little children are being treated with such contempt by his disciples here. So he steps in and he protects them. Verse 14, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Jesus welcomed little children even when other people around him dismissed them as unimportant and with nothing to offer. Now again, you fast forward to today, our culture is very different to first century Israel. If anything, maybe we've gone to the opposite extreme. We can tend to worship little children, make everything revolve around them. But the point is the same. Jesus calls even the youngest children to come to him. So we can actually say with confidence this morning, Jesus Christ loves Aoife James. Aoife matters to Jesus. Not because she's doing great things for Jesus, not because she's contributing to the economy, though maybe some clothes have been bought for her today. Actually, not because of anything that she's doing. Jesus loves Aoife because of who Jesus is. Not because of who Aoife is or what she does for him. Jesus loves Aoife because he loves her. And it's an amazing picture there of God's grace towards his people. See, actually, what this little incident in Mark's gospel shows us is that Jesus reveals the God of grace to us. Jesus wants his disciples to see and us to see just how different God is to the way our world works. The way our world usually works is this. The people who matter are the people with power, the people with money, the people with education, the beautiful people. And as a result, actually, the flip side of that is people without those things, without money or power or education or beauty, they just get left behind. They get ignored. You just sit over there. You don't really contribute anything. You don't matter, really. That's how it works in our world. And we presume if there is a God, that's how he works too. God's only interested in the important people, the good people, the religious people. God helps those who help themselves, as the saying goes. Then along comes Jesus, and he just explodes that idea. He shows that is not how God really is. Because these little children, they have nothing to offer Jesus. That they're powerless, they're vulnerable, they're seemingly unimportant. And yet, Jesus chooses to spend time with them, to welcome them, to bless them. And why? Because Jesus is showing us what God is like. God is a God of grace who welcomes people who know they need help, who know they need forgiveness, who know actually they need to be set free from the terrible selfishness that marks everyone in this world. Again, someone once said to me when we had our child, it's the arrival of someone in your home who's even more selfish than the two of you. Thanks for that. But in a sense, we are all selfish. We want our own way. And the Bible calls our selfishness, it calls that sin. It's a weird word for us, just sin. But the Bible says that selfishness, that sin, is hugely damaging to us. It damages the people around us as we refuse to budge on things. It damages us in ways that we can see and ways that we can't see. But at the heart of Mark's gospel, where this story comes from, is the story of Jesus, God's Son, entering our world to set us free from that selfishness, to set us free so we can love God and love other people the way God loves us. And Jesus sets us free, Mark tells us, by suffering and dying on a Roman cross in our place. Again, it's amazing, this story, because the rest of Mark is just full of Jesus' power. Jesus is able to heal the sick. He's able to calm storms. He's able to raise people from the dead. But Mark tells us Jesus uses that power to show us his grace, to welcome people who invite him, who know that we need him. So Jesus reveals the God of grace to us. And that's why Dan and Jamie are convinced it is the most loving thing they can do to show Aoife Jesus, to let her learn about Jesus from an early age, because Jesus shows us what God is like. And one last thing from this story, Jesus tells us that we need to receive God's grace like little children. I thought Helen did a brilliant job there with the chocolate buttons. I'm amazed adults, we're just so restrained, we don't go up and grab a handful. But yeah, that is actually what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, receive the kingdom of God like little children. That's the key word, receive it. Jesus is saying, you can't earn a place in God's kingdom. You can't work your way into God's good books. The only way you can do that is by admitting you need help, admitting you need Jesus, and then receiving him. And if we don't receive him like that, then actually Jesus says we're going to miss out on the new life he has for us. Receive Jesus like little children, says Jesus. I want us to sort of fast forward a few years now, maybe 5-6 years. So Aoife will be, say, 6 years old. And it's Christmas morning. And Dan and Jamie have just moved heaven and earth and, you know, spent a huge amount of money to get her the best gift imaginable. It could be her first acoustic guitar. It could be her first set of stilettos. Whatever, insert the present for there. But anyway, it's sitting there wrapped under the tree, and Aoife runs in, rips open the paper, and just her face lights up. It is just what she wanted. But then suddenly, her little face sort of falls, and sort of frowns, and she turns to Mum and Dad, and she says, "This must have cost you a fortune. How much do I owe you?" And Dan and Jamie go, "You've missed the point. You don't owe us anything. We love you. We've given you this because we love you. You don't have to pay us back. It's a gift." And again, Jesus says here, receive what he has done for us like a gift, like a little child. We don't think, well, I need to pay back God somehow. We receive that gift. And then we get to know this God of grace who gives us gifts at tremendous cost to himself. The gift Jesus offers us is a relationship with God, is forgiveness of every bad thing we have ever done, is a future with him in eternity, all because he has paid the price, not we have paid the price. We couldn't pay that price. We can't repay Jesus. We're like little children in that regard. But Jesus says, just receive it. Come to me and receive this gift, and it's yours. And that is the grace that Dan and Jamie believe has found them. They both, at different stages, Jesus reached out and he called them to himself. And they pray and hope that Aoife will come to know that Jesus for himself. They pray and hope that many of their friends and family will come to know and love that Jesus for themselves. So we began with that question, isn't it cruel to bring up a child in this day and age in the Christian faith? Well, that all depends on what the Christian faith's about. And the Bible tells us the Christian faith is about Jesus, the Son of God who loves us, who gave himself for us, and who looks after us, who protects us, until we come to be with him face to face. So Jesus says, come, receive this gift like little children. Let me pray for us. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for a moment. Father God, we do thank you that not only did you create us, but you also want us to know you. That's why you sent Jesus into the world, why you sent your son to reveal your character to us. Lord, we know that without Jesus, we would have lots of crazy ideas about you. We'd presume you just work the way our world works. You would only accept us if we were somehow good enough. We could prove ourselves. Lord, it is amazing to think you treat us with such grace. You shower forgiveness and love on us if we just will come and humble ourselves and ask you to make us right with yourself. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. And for each one of us here today, those of us who have known Jesus for many years, those of us who know nothing about you, Lord God, please, would today be a time for thinking about that invitation from Jesus. As we celebrate with Dan and Jamie that good gift of Aoife, would we be thinking, who is this God of grace that Dan and Jamie want their little girl to know? Would we ask questions? Would we not just ignore who you are? And would you open our eyes to what a great God you are? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.